All right,
let's nail it this time, hey?
Hello and welcome to the third edition of the Fox Rugby World Cup podcast. Guess who's back? Back again.
That's your best intro,
Drew. Drewy's back. Yep. With his friend.
I did not know this was coming.
Back. Yeah, anyway, we're back. We are back. What an exciting week, Steve. We are within a week of the World Cup kicking off.
Days, Drew. Days within kickoff, yeah.
Days away. I mean, it's match week. It's game prep week going on. Couldn't be more excited. The atmosphere is building, not only in Japan, but also you can sort of sense that things are starting to build here in Australia as well. You've obviously got to be pretty excited about that.
Oh, the man on the street, they're all sort of talking about the game. And I like the fact that it's in our own time zone. It's in Japan. I don't think we're going to see a World Cup with so much excitement and so much buy-in from the locals. We've already seen it now. But, three or four days to kick off. The first week is huge. Like, the first week in some massive pool games, you know, not just for the Wallabies. They're up against Fiji. You've got New Zealand, South Africa, you've got Argentina, France. Like, round one is going to have some massive bearings on how the quarterfinals play off. So it's so important you get off to a good start. And, yeah, it's exciting times, Drew.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And tell you what else is going to be huge, potentially, is this podcast. We've got a guest time ever.
Well, it's only episode three and we've had two setbacks. We didn't get a guest in the first two. But we do have a special guest, someone who's played in three World Cups. Should have been four, but we'll talk with our special guest a little bit later.
Yeah, we're not gonna let you know exactly who it is.
It's a teaser.
Even though you probably would have seen it on the socials. Because yep. Obviously we need to advertise the fact that he's going to be on. But an interesting chat hopefully coming up from our special guest. But for, I guess at the moment, being a week out, every team's over there, but every team's being welcomed by this Japanese community like so much. Like, it's so good to see the colour pictures that are coming out from Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, we always sort of thought that because of the Japanese way of life that we were going to get this type of reception. But having seen a line, I think it was a 3,000-metre line to get into training to watch Wales play the other day.
3,000 metres?
3,000 metres. It was 3Ks of people lining up to watch Wales train. So there's 15,000 people just to get into the stadium. Like, that is huge. Like, that's AFL Grand Final week, but this is for people that have never seen this country play. Like, it's phenomenal. You've seen the flower of Scotland being sung by locals from primary schools.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. The way that they're really embracing, and so we've seen it with the Aussies at Odawara. It's almost been, I think that's how you pronounce it. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of almost been dubbed Ottawa Wallabies because they've really embraced them, got right behind them, loving the Australian boys. We've seen Kirtley Beale playing the didgeridoo out of the team bus to hundreds of people outside, just loving what he can do and his skills on the didgeridoo. Like you said, where the Scotland home base is, they learnt the A Flower of Scotland. A Flower of Scotland.
Powerful song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge.
And when you see, you know, a couple of thousand young Japanese school kids singing it, you go, this is why this World Cup's going to be so special. Like, we had something similar in 2007. We were based at Montpellier, the home ground of Montpellier, which was a great setup. And we were based there. And we had an open training session probably halfway through the pool games, I think, if memory serves me correctly. Yeah. We had thousands turn up there. And
there was a band in the stands. I remember always.
And I remember Lottie Dakiri running over and winding up the crowd and getting them all excited. Matt Dunning went over, didn't get a similar reception and felt a little bit dejected. But, you know, Lottie was a big deal back then.
Yeah, he was. No, he still is a big deal. Don't rip him off.
He had the hair. He was the most recognisable player in that World Cup, I reckon.
Yeah, you would think so.
The Japanese will nail this World Cup and then they'll follow up with the Olympics next year. So it's going to be a huge 12 months for sport in Japan and I can't wait for this World Cup. This week's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be so much action on the field, but those little things that we've just touched on there, that's what's going to make this World Cup special, is how much interaction and engagement there is between teams and also fans and the fan zones and all that type of thing. And these colour pictures that are going to go viral throughout the course of this World Cup is going to be huge. We've seen the Samoans getting involved with some of their kids that are at their training sessions and, they come up with their sort of traditional clapping type sequences. I'm not sure exactly the term of it, but getting all the kids to learn it and doing it and bouncing off one another with those types of things as well. We also saw a large scale haka from a number of Japanese kids as well. That
it was a good haka.
It was actually really really good. And you know, so you start to see how much these local Japanese people are really embracing. You know, it's going to be good, and that's before a ball's even been kicked off.
And the other positive about all that is, you know, that then if there's games in places that doesn't have a bearing on the Japanese rugby, if you know the Wallabies play Fiji and Sapporo, but the stands will be full with fans from locals who have actually picked. Because they're all picking a side to support. So you'll have Japanese Fijian fans, you'll have Japanese Wallaby fans. So every game's going to feel important. You'll have Russia that'll be well supported when they're coming up against a Tier 1 nation. So it's going to be, you know, like it's just going to be exciting every game you watch. And, you know, I do believe because there's probably at least 5 to 6 teams that can win this World Cup. We've never had a World Cup where there's been so many sides that you could say on their day can be world champions. You've got Wales and Ireland have been number one in the last 2 weeks. You've got New Zealand that have been number one. You've got England, South Africa and Australia. So there's, you know, there's six just right there. And France could go all the way to the final. They could not make the quarters. It's just such a tough draw they've got. So very, very exciting few weeks.
You spoke about the reception that Wales got. I also heard an interesting little, I don't know, ploy that they're running with, which is, they're putting baby oil on their balls.
Footballs?
Oh, right.
Footballs, Drew.
Right.
Yeah. Because we've all done both.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was maybe a bit of oversharing from the Welsh.
We've played in teams where we had sun cream on the balls, and that was on the footballs.
Come on, mate.
No. Just for training purposes, because it's very humid over there, and it's not nice. I'd rather baby oil on my footballs than sun cream on footballs because sun cream gets in your eyes. It's a nasty thing to train with. So they're just trying to get...
But there is method behind it, obviously, because...
There is method behind it.
Yeah, it's a humid environment. It is hot. And from all reports, their balls are getting quite sweaty.
The Gilberts. Let's just call them the Gilberts.
Okay. Yeah. The Gilberts are getting quite sweaty.
Yep.
And therefore making it difficult to handle and to retain when they're training. And obviously that's going to be a huge thing in the opening rounds and all throughout the World Cup, but it'll probably get a little bit cooler as the World Cup plays out.
I reckon our special guest will know a little bit about this when we call in.
Ooh.
Has got some experience playing up in Japan. But yeah, conditions, I believe everyone turns on the TV and watches how nice the conditions look at the moment and sees the socials and there's sun out and it looks unreal. But playing, it's probably similar to playing up in Brisbane or far north Queensland in the early parts of the year. It's terrible conditions.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to play a different game of footy, don't you?
It was just interesting. When I saw it, I thought, okay, if the Welsh are doing it. So I went and put baby oil on my balls. And I don't know. Anyway.
Three things the Welsh do. They get their teeth done, they peroxide their hair, and they put baby oil all over their balls. So it's a commonly...
Oh, and tans.
That's fake tan.
Yeah.
Oh,
we do love our Welsh listeners. If any of you are listening... Revolutions, Oceania, just Tiger.
These are nightclubs in Cardiff, I assume, yeah.
Love that place. Anyway, I think it's maybe time to call our guest.
Righto, let's go straight into it.
Well, I know he'll answer my call.
Won't answer my call.
So what about I give him a call?
Hello.
G'day, what's going on?
BC, what's going on? Not much.
It's a bit cold. Yeah, it is a bit cold, eh? Mate, you're actually live with the Fox Rugby, what is it? What are we again? Fox Rugby,
the Rugby World Cup podcast.
And I'm here with Stephen Hoyles.
Hey, Gitz, how are you?
Oh, Aussie. Yeah, how are you, mate?
I'm good. A bit cold there. You've just come back from Hawaii, but is there snow in Canberra today?
There was last night. Today, no, not so much. Just a bit wet, but still beautiful to be here, mate.
Anyway, mate, look, we didn't ring you for the weather forecast, so Steve's digressed a little there. So, mate, we're going to get straight into it. Let's be honest, how close were you to playing in this Rugby World Cup?
Not really at all. I had a talk with Czech, like, over a couple of drinks, like, after maybe could have been Hong Kong Sevens. Like, and he was, I don't know if he was gauging interest or maybe I was just reading into it too much, but that last injury I had in the Bledisloe when I came back, in my mind, mentally, I knew that was it. It was almost like a relief to get injured because I felt, okay, that's it. Like, it's a serious injury, so that's the end of my international rugby career. It kind of was a real good ending point. It wasn't a great ending point, but in my mind, it was a good ending point. So I never entertained the thought. Obviously, the week leading into the World Cup, there's so much buzz around it, and you'd love to be involved in it, but I'm sure you talk to any of the ex-players, they'd love to be involved in the tournament until you're actually playing when the hard work starts.
Yeah, the difference is, though, Giddy, like all the ex-players have generally all retired. You're still playing top-level rugby in Japan and you've always kept yourself in really good shape. So do you look at this World Cup and go, I actually know I could be out there, or are you completely comfortable with your decision?
Completely comfortable. I don't know. There's no way that I think that I could be out there. It's actually flattering that some people still say, you should be playing, when I think there's no way. Like, there's some games before a top league, which is what the Japanese league is, it's top league, before that, and I'm thinking, geez, I don't even feel like playing. Like, imagine, and that's in that type of league, imagine when you've got to physically, mentally prepare all week. It's just so draining, and I think mentally there's no way. While physically I keep myself quite fit, mentally I don't think I'd be able to last that whole tournament.
Okay, so we understand that there's no chance of you playing. What about any involvement within the coaching ranks, even if it's sort of on a consultancy sort of basis?
I'd love to help out in any way I could. I think you two boys would be very similar. You know, if there's any way you could help or bring value to the Wallaby group in achieving, you know, the World Cup, then you'd love to do it. But working with someone like Czech's quite difficult. As you know, Halsey, you know, he might call you an hour before you're supposed to be in Egypt or something, and you're in Canberra. Like, he's a very hard man to plan for. So.
Canberra is an international airport now, Matt, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. If you're going to Singapore, but he wasn't there, so...
I know what you're saying.
It's hard to work for him, but I've got so much respect for him and I love the playing group. I'm still close with a lot of the players that if he could obey you and could help, I'd love to.
All right. Give us some insights, Matt, into Japan. You've spent a number of seasons over there at the Suntory Club. Tell us a little bit about the culture of the Japanese way of life, and not only that, the conditions that the players will be going through in this early rounds of the World Cup.
The conditions will be horrible. It's while it's hot and they see it as summer, it's not the same as summer football here in Australia where the ball's a bit drier. I think over there, because it's so humid, it's almost like the only way I can describe it, I suppose, where you guys would understand was where Eddie Jones would always put sun cream on the football sometimes to prepare us for wet weather football. So, and you just couldn't get a grip on it. You couldn't spoil it. You couldn't get a clean catch. It's really messy football, and you're better off not playing in your end, even if you've got an attacking brand that you'd want to play. So I think the opening stages will be quite difficult, but then as the weather cools off, it'll start to get drier, and you'll see the better teams start to play some good football. So from the conditions point of view, early on it's going to be quite difficult, and you're looking for your lungs. It's hard to breathe there, especially in that type of heat. The lifestyle is good. I love it. Just simple, the respect they've got for their seniors, especially, you know, with myself being one of the senior players in the team. You've got, if you're having a drinking session, you've got your beers. Always, if you're younger than someone, you've got the tip of your can must touch below my can. So I've always got to hold my beer above you. So, for example, both you boys would be cheering below me.
I'm always below you, mate.
He likes it below you, they say.
Yeah, I know, but that's a different story, that one.
Mate, just quickly on that, two of your teammates from Suntory came out to visit you here in Australia, and you and I took them out for a night on the town in Sydney. And then it was throughout the course of the evening that we realised that I was older than both those two boys. And once I realised that... there was a level of respect they had to show me. Would you say I abused it a little bit?
Oh, I'd say you abused them. I don't know about the power. It was good, though. They loved it. Oh, they even talk about it now, like, as in how much fun it was. And I said, he was ordering you around. Like, you could have asked them for their shoes and they would have walked home naked, I'd imagine.
Well, I just never experienced it. A lot of the younger guys in Australian rugby at the moment just tell you to piss off. So I just had to make the most of it while it was around.
We lack a bit of the cultural things that the Japanese have, don't they? Matt, we saw footage of like 15,000 fans watching Wales train the other day. That's unbelievable, eh?
Well, it is, but like I think it was 3 weeks ago, maybe, I saw a video where wherever Fiji are staying, the locals there were learning the Fijian national anthem so they could sing it for when they play. And so learning another language, like, I mean, I knew that this would be a good World Cup, because my first year when I was there, after one of the games, a fan came up and she was like, "Oh, how you liking Japan?" I said, "I love it." I said, "Food's good, weather's nice." And she's, "Oh, thank you so much for liking my country." And I was, yeah, but I was just thinking, I'm not saying this just so, you know, you think I like your country. So for me, it just reinforced how much they want everyone to see the best part of Japan. They want it to they're almost quite proud of their country.
Yeah, they want to show
which
it
we
off.
All are, but they want to really show the best that they've got. So
yeah,
it's going to be a really good World Cup.
Yeah, we just spoke about a number of those examples of how they've how the Japanese people have welcomed each of the different teams around. But, mate, back onto the Rugby World Cup, your career spanned over 4 World Cups. You played in 3. Our good mate Adam Ashley Cooper is about to embark on his 4th campaign. Can you tell us about that day where that opportunity for you to have had 4 was taken away from you from a former coach in Robbie Deans?
Are you saying the day that I got axed, as in when he called me up?
Yep. Well, just tell us a little bit of the story around it, because I believe you had to come from Canberra, right?
Yeah, so I was flown up from Canberra, actually. And I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, because I'm totally over it. I've seen Robbie over there. We've had some good chats because we played against each other. So I hold no ill feeling towards him, but at the time I held a little bit. So I got called up. I was in Canberra, and the team were coming back from South Africa, from the Tri Nations or Four Nations, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And they were in the physio room, and he just wanted to have a meeting. And I packed all my stuff, thinking that, you know, I'm going to go to New Zealand with the group, well, potentially. So I needed to pack anyway. Went up there. He called me into the physio room, which was downstairs, and in the corner was Jim Williams. He's in his undies, pulling his shorts off. He's getting changed because he could have been heading down to the bar or going to get something to eat. You had the physio unwrapping, like, all the rolling, the tape, getting ready for tomorrow's training, getting all that area set up.
So it was a nice private room.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just the two of us. And he just said, we're going to go with a 17-13 split, which means 17 forwards, 13 backs. And I was like, okay. And I thought maybe he's just giving me the details. And he said, so, you know, we don't have a spot for you. And I was like, okay. And I just thought about it for a little bit. And then I kind of, because I was quite embarrassed, because I got brought up with all my bags and I've been involved in the squad for a while. I just felt embarrassed. So I said, well, why did you bring me up here? And he said, well, I felt the need to tell you face to face out of respect. I said, well, if it's respect, then you'd ask everyone to get out of the room.
Fair point.
And then it was just, yeah, well, it was just quiet. And I said, he had me staying then the night. I was sharing a room with Digby Ioane, who was in the squad. And the next day was the photos for the World Cup team. So he had me staying the night. And I was thinking, this is the last thing I want to do. I just want to get home. I said, can I leave? And he said, oh, I'll see what we can do. Anyway, I spoke to the manager and they were able to change the flights, and then I was out of there. So that's kind of how that went down.
So you thought it was that was it, hey, Matt? I remember you tweeted that day. That was, what was the tweet again?
Thank you, ball boys. Thank you, linesman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, definitely I thought that was it.
Yeah. Because you already signed to go to France?
Yeah. So in February, I signed to go to France.
Yep.
So that was before the Super Rugby season had started. So at the time, you couldn't go overseas and still play for your country. So, that was it. I mean, I knew that year, for me, mentally, was going to be like my last year, because I'd already signed to go overseas, but I was hoping of getting a few more tests in the Tri Nations and going to the World Cup.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal.
Well, there you go. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
We're finishing on that note, are we?
Yeah, well...
He's going to be sad for the rest of the day.
It's a bit of a...
Actually, yeah.
Let's finish with this.
Sure.
Out of all the World Cups you played in, Matt, what was the best moment you had?
Oh, I'd have to say probably the last World Cup, just because it meant a bit more to me. after being away for so long. And, yeah, I don't know, just appreciating the moment a bit more, I'd probably say that last World Cup, the first game we played against Fiji, when I was able to just, my kids, was the first time they got to see me play for my country live. So after the game, you'd walk around with them. So, yeah, that would probably be the one that sticks out. I mean, there's so many great memories. Sharing a room with Drew every time is special. But it's that would probably special. That would be the one, I suppose.
Yeah, good answer. That's another positive. So I've just gone back to a couple of tweets a couple of weeks ago. We're hoping to get you in for a few of these podcasts, but I'm hearing it's at my expense. Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't say at your expense, but it's just better for the program.
Okay.
Yeah, look, yeah, we might call in to Steve.
Okay, yeah. I'll just sit in the car park and call in to me. Thanks for your time, Gitz. That was a great contribution.
No worries.
Thanks, Giddy. Looking forward to you jumping back on and having you a bit more involved throughout the course of the World Cup. But just lastly, what's your prediction?
Well, for the World Cup, who I think will win?
Yeah.
Got to say Australia.
Of course.
Fox Sports.
And what about this
work?
Okay, last prediction. Who's going to cause the biggest upset of the tournament?
Biggest upset? Probably Japan.
Yeah?
I think they're going to make it to the quarters. They're going to beat Scotland.
Well, there you go. Heard it here first. All right, Giddy, thanks so much, mate, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, sounds good.
See you, mate.
Hey, boss.
Now, Halsey, we are the Funcast, and the podcast which engages as much as we can with our listeners. And last week we read out a few tweets. We encourage people to tweet in any feedback or also anything that they might like us to cover. And we've done that once again. And again, we've had some pretty good engagement with the people. So want to start us off and read out a couple of tweets?
Yeah, nice. We've even had a couple of second goes at it. Fired a few shots at Potato Fritzel last week. And he took it on the chin and he moved forward. And he came back with this one. Righto, gents. Here's my question this time around. Who chokes and who shines at this year's Rugby World Cup? Also, for fun, who do you think will be the MVP of the tournament? Well, generally, the MVP comes down to someone who's been in the final.
Yeah.
You very rarely see someone that doesn't play in that final. Generally, the winning side as well. But it's a tough one. Who chokes and who shines? I believe South Africa will go deeper than people think. We'll get a good indication after week one because they'll come up against the All Blacks. I probably think Ireland or Wales will disappoint just because there's expectations on them. They've both been number one in the last couple of weeks. I don't believe Ireland, and I was really heavily on Ireland 6-8 weeks ago, but I've just leaned away from them and Wales, and I'm leaning more towards South Africa and England.
Yeah, like I'm not going to get lured into that type of chat from Potato Fritzel. Like I'm not going to be sitting here quoted to say someone's going to choke.
It's a strong word.
It's a strong word, and being someone in
I said they'll disappoint.
Yeah. You don't want to sort of be attached to that term, but I think England will disappoint.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
A lot of expectations.
We've just written off the Northern Hemisphere, so we'll get no listeners up there next week.
I've said that it's going to be, in my opinion, I think it's going to be a Southern Hemisphere World Cup because of the conditions and the fast, dry, heat kind of climate that they're going to be facing. So, with that in mind, I think England are going to disappoint.
Okay, give me a quick MVP of the tournament then.
Curtly Beale.
Okay, I'm going to go with an Aussie as well. I'm going to go with Samu Karevi.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Ooh,
big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. I've got one here from Saxon Templeton. Hey, Sax. Does Taniela Tupou have a problem with dropping the shoulder into his big hits without arms?
Yeah.
And with a dynamite emoji?
Okay. Yeah, I've noticed Saxon on the Instagram. He's all over Taniela.
Also, will this come back to haunt us at some stage during the Rugby World Cup? And should Drew or Stephen Hoyles be the one that confronts Taniela about it?
Probably neither to that last question. But look, it's a valid point. I think he's a young guy who comes on and his job is to come on and make an impact because you're coming off the bench. But you've also got to do that. You don't have to do that in the first minute. So he's got to come on and just make sure that he locks down his scrum. Because the Wallabies against Samoa, their scrum was very, very good in the first early parts of the game.
Yeah.
It didn't go that well in the back end of the game. His job, first and foremost, is to scrummage.
Yeah.
He's now playing against guys that are as big as him and as strong as him. This was never the case up until about, Super Rugby level. So he's still a freakish talent, but I'm sort of on the same page. He's got to be careful with his discipline. He hits so hard at times that he can be a little bit reckless. He's just got to try and be as mature as possible in his performances, not try and solve the game in the first minute he comes on. I think if he comes on and has a nice, mature approach to the game, he'll be very, very valuable for the Wallabies.
Well, that's all we've got time for, folks. Steve's just taking it all up.
Okay, we're done, are we?
No. Go another tweet.
Okay, this is from Steve Coates. Hey, fellas, how about some of the weird game day rituals and superstitions from players have had around the globe? I know you had a pretty weird routine,
yeah.
Drew.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a superstition. I just wasn't capable of concentrating the game from a long period out because I didn't have that capacity to concentrate. So I'd make myself put off any thought of the game really until 3 minutes before kickoff when the manager would say, all right, 3 minutes.
After warm-up.
Yeah, after warm-up, got the boots on, kind of just done my hair, and then and we're just about to get into a huddle, and I'd duck off into the bathroom and have a spew because all the nerves would just hit me with a big rush, and I'd have to have a bit of a spew, and then I'd get back into it.
Almost making me have a spew, just the thought of that. I do remember you ducking off all the time and wasn't sure what you're up to, but glad it was you just having a spew.
Mm.
There's plenty of superstitions. I tried to get them all out of my game because I thought the more you had, the more you found out did work or didn't work. And I basically got rid of all of them by the end of my career, but there's some players that are heavily superstitious.
Rocky Elsom used to brush his teeth before he went out.
Rocky Elsom had his own, he had the same game day bag throughout his whole professional career. He looked like an assassin. Honestly, looked like something out of James Bond. Remember he turned up with that little black bag?
Bond. You've just merged James Bond and Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
You said James Bond.
Yeah, I watch a lot of kids' cartoons at the moment, mate.
Daddy Shark.
But so we all have a team bag, as you'd imagine. You all get team backpack, a team carry bag, and Rocky never used that. Rocky always had the black assassin bag, which scared a lot of people, and he kept to himself.
I always thought perhaps his brushing of his teeth was more just to try and win over the referee when he was getting in his face and talking to them.
Now you say that, I remember so many times him being late onto the field because he'd forgot to brush his teeth, and sometimes you're on the bench, the reserves run out late, and Rocky would quickly run in and you'd be like, we're one man short, and he'd be just casually brushing his teeth in front of the mirror, and you never went near the Rock when he was in that type of mood. You just knew that that's how Rock used to operate. Next question, Drew.
Okay, Sarah Kosh, Sarah in the UK is her handle. After hearing you wax lyrical about Pocock, could you do the same about Hooper?
What was that?
I don't know. I mean, we spoke up Pocock and his importance last week. I think it was more just because he'd been out for so long,
talking
about his importance. We also, undeniably, we're huge fans of Michael Hooper as well. So thanks, Sarah, for getting a little plug in there on your little man crush, Michael Hooper.
Yeah, big fans of Hoops. I'd always start Hoops and have Poe off the bench. I said that. So question for Drew. This is from Brycey09. Did Knuckles Connolly ever give you a reason for playing you off the bench against England in the Rugby World Cup quarterfinal 2007? You were informed that campaign and that was a knockout fixture. I was in that side. I always thought the same thing, but you were sort of a playing, I think there were starting wingers that day were Adam Ashley Cooper and Lottie Takiri.
Yeah.
So you did have a pretty impressive lead up to that quarterfinal though, Drew. Any reason?
No reason was given. I do remember since that World Cup, I was at a function or a luncheon where Knuckles was speaking, and he didn't necessarily give a reason as to why, but kind of spoke of it perhaps being a mistake of his.
Okay.
Just because of that fact, because I was in form and I was able to find the line and I kind of came on.
How long did you get?
16 minutes or something.
I got about the same. It wasn't
But it was, like... it was the game opened up a little bit, made a couple of line breaks or something, but it was one of those ones where probably in hindsight I got more of an understanding of it as opposed to in the moment.
I don't think the main mistake was actually having him on the bench. I think the rotation of the subs that day, we waited too long to get him on. It was a hot day in Marseille, and I think we went an extra forward as we usually did, but it was too many late changes. But anyway, not that we're living in fear of what happened in 2007. Okay, another question from Samuel Chambers. Who's faster today, JOC or AAC? That's James O'Connor or Adam Ashley Cooper.
Yeah, so I reached out.
Oh, you did? Good on you.
I reached out. I reached out to Adam and Kirtley, and I got an answer, which was my opinion as well. But then I thought, you know what, this is perhaps a little bit too biased. So I went to the strength and conditioning coach, Brad Harrington.
Harrow.
And... Yep. Just bear with me. Okay. I'm going to bring up his exact
Because for those who don't know, like the boys are training GPS units all the time. You constantly get in top speed off plays, high speed meters. It's data for days. Yeah.
So I explained to him that we've had engagement from listeners, and one question was, who is currently fast between JOC and Swoop? And Flat answer, Swoop.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so apparently his top end speed is quicker.
I thought he looked fast against Samoa.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly. He just told me who's faster, which is Swoop. James might be able to get quicker, faster. I don't know if his acceleration is better than Adams. I'm not sure. But from what these boys have told me, Adams' top end speed is quicker. And the quickest in the squad is Marika.
Yeah, okay. And James has very good change of direction speed. That's probably where his strength on the athleticism lies. And, yeah, that's a good one. Like, we see that with the sevens. Like, the fastest guys are the ones that get to their top speed the quickest and can hold it for the longest. But some guys can still get a quicker, higher speed.
Yeah.
But they don't get there. They take a bit longer to get there and they don't hold it for long enough. Yeah. So, good question.
Yeah, good question. And thanks to the guys within the squad for giving us a bit of a intel on that. Jack Lee. Give the UQ Red Heavies a shout-out. They are off on a rugby tour to play Japanese colleges and watch the Wallabies smash it.
It's one of your old clubs, Drew.
Yeah, hashtag once a heavy, always a heavy. Go to all the best Red Heavies.
Okay, from Louise Ransom, good old friend of ours, Louise Ransom. She sent us through a dead set essay here, so let's see how long we've got to get through it. Will this be our best 15-23 on the park versus Fiji? What do you want the back row to look like? Is it an advantage playing a team like Fiji first rather than later in the pool stages? What is it like for players' perspective having competitions for spots in the squad? Does it get awkward? Well, not as awkward as this tweet, Luke, because we don't have a full episode for it.
I know. It's almost like it's an entire podcast.
Are you writing a book on this, are you, Lou? Okay, Drew.
Lou needs to work more.
I know. You're going to answer
home
the first
not
Drew.
Not too much to do.
Will this be our best 15 or 23 on the park versus Fiji?
Available, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the best we think. I do think that we'll rotate because we're going to have a World Cup where I still don't know if we know our best 23 all the way through to the end.
And Czech said also, depending on opposition, that 23 may change in terms of his perception of the best 23 for that game.
Yep. Okay, what do you want the back row to look like?
I've said Salakai Loto, Naizerani and Hooper with Pocock coming off the bench, 25 to go, getting some crucial turnovers at a crucial point in the game.
I'm okay with Dempsey starting at 6 with Salakai Loto on the bench and Pocock on the bench too, so I'd have the same as you.
And then no lock on the bench?
No, you go 6-2.
No, you can't.
Well, we don't have a spare halfback, so
you don't go 6-2 against the Fijians.
Oh, maybe conditions like it's going to be pretty muggy out there.
No,
you can go 5-3.
Yeah.
Well, Salakai Loto can cover both. Pocock can cover the whole back row, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but you
and then Adam Coleman.
There's nothing worse than a 6-2 bench. Like it just compromises the backline play.
Yeah, that's true. I did find myself awkwardly out in the backline at times in those positions. Is an advantage playing a team like Fiji first rather than late in the pool stages?
I think so. I think they're going to be a team that gets better as the tournament goes on. I don't know. I think if you have them at any point, it's right at the beginning.
Yep, I agree. From a player's perspective, having competitions for spots in the squad, does it get awkward? It can.
Yeah, it can.
But in a good side... No, every good side has competition for spots.
It's only awkward because everyone's passionate about it and everyone wants a jersey. I remember I had a discussion with Stephen Larkham in Notre Dame in America, and he sat me down, and there was also a number of people in the room, and Nathan Gray, Adam Ashley Cooper, and a couple others were in the room, and he told me that I was third on the pecking order, and I just sort of said, why? And having those honest conversations in front of other people can be quite awkward, especially if Adam was one of the guys that I was behind in the pecking order as well. So it's more just about those conversations and being honest about it. And I think, you know, I've always kind of been of the opinion that you should always just say something. You know, like any of those conversations you should be able to have with anyone in your team, because that's what, if you start having conversations that you wouldn't have in front of their face, that's where it could potentially be negative and toxic. So, I've always been of the opinion that I'll speak quite honestly to the coaches or also to my teammates as well. And I'd expect the same back.
But yeah, that's the job of the head coach at some stage throughout the week, is to talk to everyone and just let them know where they are.
Yeah.
If everyone knows, then everyone seems to, you're there to make your team win the World Cup or help your team win the World Cup. So any other questions, Drew? Is that about it?
No, we've got a few more.
Do we?
Well, what is the name of the podcast from Luke Warren? Good question. It's the Fox Rugby World Cup podcast.
Yep.
But if you're listening to it, you already know it.
Yeah.
Good tweet, mate. Okay, which of the lesser-known teams are you looking forward to see in action? Any players we should keep an eye out on? Hugh_96.
I'm interested to see Japan, see if they've progressed from 2015. In terms of players from lesser-known nations, I'm really excited about the Fijian back rower, Viliami Matu, I think.
Mata.
Billy Mata, they call him. He's a monster. He's about 125 kilos. He's a Fijian gold medalist in sevens, and he still has the ability to go back between 15s and sevens at the drop of a hat and carve up a sevens tournament. He's huge, yeah. And he's won numerous awards up in the Northern Hemisphere. I think he'll go well.
I've got another one here from Karen Mitchell.
Oh, there, that Mrs. Mitchell, yeah.
Mrs. Mitchell, yeah. What about the games you get up to in the hotel when to stop boredom? Like, you know, I used to, and she's got this one down as an example, fill up bins full of water. And I'd lean them against the door and then knock on a teammate's door, and as they opened the door to open it, it would flush their feet and their door. And often their kit bag's quite close to the doorway because it's, you know, pretty tight, especially in Japan, they would be. Jeez, I'd have a field day in Japan. But Karen, if you're not lucky, if you don't be careful, I'll start doing some of those to your front door as well at home. So just keep those tweets in line. Thanks,
Matt Dunning was on a curfew in the 2007 World Cup.
Yeah,
he wasn't allowed out after midnight, which made it hard when we had a 9:30 p.m. kickoff one time. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
He had to rush home and get to bed.
He had to get off the field, to go.
So Tucky just basically took up, well, he was a big avid golfer at the time. He just kept the whole team up for hours on end by just chipping into his wall. He had putting down the hallway and chipping in his hotel room. It kept guys up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning just... So guys get up to all sorts of things, but good tweet from Mrs. Mitchell.
Yeah, Hayden Poole, realistic chances for Japan. Can they make the quarters?
Well, yeah, we just heard from our special guest, Matt Giddo. He said that...
And he would know.
Yeah, I believe they're a chance. They got Samoa, Scotland... That pool's wide open. They've got Samoa, Scotland... That's their two big games to see if they can qualify second. They're in Ireland's pool, I believe, aren't they?
Yep.
So that's everyone assumes that Ireland are the ring-ins there, but I think Japan can get up there.
Okay, I've got one here from, forgive me for pronunciation, but Rogan McCurley.
Macca.
It could be Rowan, but spelled funny. Who is the single most important player to help their team's chances of winning? I'm just going to throw some teams at you. You just give me the player in which you think is the most important for their campaign.
Okay.
England.
Vunipolo, number 8, Vunipolo.
Yeah. Okay, Australia.
Simon Crevy.
New Zealand.
Baden Barrett.
Ireland.
I'm going to go Connor Murray here, number 9.
Yeah, partnering up with Johnny Sexton. Nice. South Africa.
South Africa, I will have to say Peter Steph the Toy.
Ooh, yeah, back row. Like him. France.
I don't know enough about the French, Drew. I'm going to have to go throw to you there.
Honestly, I think it's whoever they play at 10. Yeah, they're not settled on their 10. Yeah. And previously at World Cups, we've seen them play like Morgan Parra and halfbacks at 10. They just don't seem to be able to settle at 10. And a number of players in the top 14 in France are actually foreign.
Okay.
So there's not a huge amount of options, I suppose, for them. They've gone with a couple of young guys. Maybe Intermac? Is it Intermac?
Well, you know.
No, it's like his father used to be, you know, one of the great French players.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, his son, he plays at Toulouse. He's got he's one of the 10 options for France. So I think it'll come down to their number 10 anyway. Wales.
Oh, it's Dan Bigger now.
Yeah.
Anscombe's gone. Yeah. There's a huge amount of weight and pressure on Bigger.
Argentina.
I'm going to go Matera. Like, they play well when Pablo Matera plays well. I know I'm a back row. I'll pick another back row. I just think he's so crucial.
Okay. And lastly, Russia.
Vladimir Shishkov, I think. I just like what he does. Like, he set pieces so... I don't know, Drew. Have you got a Russian
mate,
play for
me? You've got to cover these games, so you've got to start doing your homework. We're a week out, Steve.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for... you've got any... Last tweets? No,
that's all. No.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, one. Sorry, one.
Okay.
It's who wins the Barnett World Cup? The Barnett is Barnett Fair, the best hair. Who wins the award for best hair at the World Cup? I know. I tried to... That's from the Australian Rugby Business Network. So, you know, they're good supporters of the game. We should do
great.
The thing.
Yeah, but I mean...
So they've given us a little picture of... Who's got great hair over there?
Well, I don't know. I think that's probably one we have to maybe...
We'll come back to
because we haven't seen enough of the players, and we know that everyone likes to get their hair done before the first game.
It's going
to
be someone from Wales. They would have brought some sort of makeup artist out with them, some sort of peroxide in expert. It'll be a Welsh person for sure.
Yeah, okay. Right up there anyway.
Yep.
All right, well, that's enough of our fan engagement. Thank you so much for tweeting in some of your feedback and also some ideas and some of the things that you wanted us to cover. We're now going to go just quickly into Rugby World Cup predictions. So the two finalists, in your opinion, Steve, the biggest minnow upset.
Okay.
And top try scorer.
Two finalists. I will say I'll say Australia, South Africa final.
Well, yeah, well, that was mine. Yeah. So okay, I'm going to go with Australia, France because they're like my other team.
Yeah, that's a huge call on France. Yeah. The biggest minnow upset. I'll go Japan versus Scotland. Yeah, that'll be my minnow.
Okay.
And Matt Guido said the same, but I think Japan.
I'm going to go Fiji over Wales.
Yep, that's possible. Yeah. That's a good one. And what about
top try scorer?
Top try scorer. You know what? It's probably going to be. I'll go someone from. I'll pick a New Zealand player, and I'll go Arika. Yeah.
Who?
Iwani.
What was it? What did you say?
Arika.
It's Akira.
Akira. Oh, his brother's Arika. What's his brother? Have I got his brother's name there? Yes. Yeah, no, I'm going the winger. Yeah. It's not his brother because you can't get
So it's Rico.
Scorer. Rico.
Or Akira.
Akira.
Yeah, no. So Akira's not there.
No, Rico but, the winger. I'm going to go
Yeah, here. So you said Arika.
Did I? So I merge names all the time.
Yeah, what's wrong?
I don't know.
Okay. all right, I'm going to go with Marika.
Marika.
It's kind of like your one, Arika, but with an M in
Shakira?
Front of
it.
No, Marika Korobete. So that, yep. I mean, I'm tipping Australia to go all the way. So there's going to be someone in the Australian team that's going to put on some good numbers. Okay, round one predictions. We'll get through these pretty quickly. Japan versus Russia.
Japan.
Same.
I'll call out next one. Australia, Fiji.
Australia.
I'll stay with you for this one as well, Drew. France, Argentina.
Oh, this is tough. I'm going to go France.
Well, you're putting them in the final. You probably have to get them to win round one.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tight.
New Zealand, South Africa.
Well, hang on. Who would you go there?
I'll go Argentina. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now you, New Zealand, South Africa.
Yeah, well, I've got South Africa in my final, I think, so I'm going to go South Africa.
Yeah, I think South Africa will get that one done. They drew last time in Wellington. They take so much confidence playing on a neutral venue. Italy versus Namibia.
Yeah, this would be closer than people think. I think Namibia has gone up and the Italians have come back a little bit in the pecking order, but I'll stick with Italy. For you, Drew, big one, Ireland versus Scotland.
Ireland.
Yeah. Everyone's assuming they'll win that game, but that'll be their toughest game of the tournament.
Okay, England versus Tonga.
Yeah, you have to go England.
I mean, after the performance of Tonga against New Zealand. Wales versus Georgia.
Yeah, Wales will get up there.
Yeah, but I'm telling you what.
You know a bit more about the Georgian than
scrum
I do.
Could do some real damage against the Welsh.
Yeah. What about the scrum footage? They've done a little bit of scrummaging against England over the last couple of years. They always end in stinks. It's been great to watch.
Yeah, they love fighting.
It's almost like Eddie Jones says, come on in at the fifth scrum, just start throwing them.
Yeah, just rough our boys up and see how they respond. And then the last one of the round is Russia versus Samoa.
Yep. I'm going to go Samoa here. I believe Samoa will probably get better as the tournament goes on. They don't spend that much. So do the Russians. They don't spend a huge amount of time together, but I'll go Samoa.
Yeah, and Samoa looked pretty good against the Aussies a couple of weeks ago. So anyway, there are predictions for the Rugby World Cup, but also the first round. But there's so much exciting action. You can watch it all live on Fox Sports in 4K. Every game, every nation. Is that what we have to say, Steve?
Yeah, that's what we have to say. But it's going to be big. We're covering every single game. It's on KO as well,
Drew. It's on KO as well. Yeah, don't forget that. You know, if you want to catch up, there's some little, condensed packages so you can get through and...
You won't miss a minute.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sitting here in your Wallabies jersey, fanboy.
Actually, on Wallabies jersey, did you see the difference in...
Let's talk about that next week.
We'll talk about that next week.
But for those who don't know...
Some little traditions.
The Wallaby jersey Drury's wearing, it has a little Wallaby ball over the emblem.
Over the crest.
And we'll explain the difference between that and the Wallaby plain jumper next week.
Yeah, and just some of the traditions and also who's...
The gatekeepers to traditions in the Wallaby squad. You and Steve Moore did it in 2015.
Yeah, I'm huge on that.
It's a pretty important role, but we'll go
We'll touch on that next week. So thanks very much for your time. How do we sound off?
We just say thanks very much for your time like you did and we'll see you next week, Drew, and in that heart.
But we don't see them.
Well, we'll talk to you next week. You've completely butchered this send-off.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time and you'll hear us next week if we're still around.